Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. Get ready to laugh, gain insight, and learn some yummy pie recipes with Deanna Davis, PhD, who will be talking about her latest book, Laugh, Cry, Eat Some Pie, a down-to-earth recipe of living mindfully even when the world feels half-baked. Laugh, Cry, Eat Some Pie addresses the challenges of stress management and balancing a career and personal life in an honest, relatable way that the everyday woman can appreciate. Using anecdotal stories from her life as well as a variety of yummy dessert recipes, Deanna challenges female readers to seek new perspective in their lives and to be open to learning opportunities that are always present if one is paying attention. In Deanna's world, even baking has become a form of self-discovery, self-expression, self-care, and even on occasion, self-sacrifice. Deanna Davis, PhD, is a popular speaker, entertainer, and workshop leader and the author of The Law of Attraction in Action and Living with Intention. She lives in Spokane, Washington with her husband and their two young daughters. Visit her website at www.deannadavis.net. Deanna, so glad to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, your book is a lot of fun. You have some great stories in there and some wonderful pie recipes, I might add.
Thank you.
And, you know, Deanna, in your wonderful book, Laugh, Cry, Eat Some Pie, you write, quote, I maintain there are important life-changing lessons to be learned from pie. Now, Deanna, when did you first start making pies, and when did you first see this connection?
You know, I have to say that I started baking pies when I was a teenager, right when you're in the moodiest, broodiest stage of your life. And I was, I was just bored one day, you know, trapped at my father's house, and I was leafing through his library. And I thought, you know, I got a craving for some sweets. Maybe I'll give this a try. And it actually changed my life. Baking my first pie changed my life. And I have to say that even though the book isn't about pie, the whole analogy about the idea of bringing together ingredients in life in a way that produces something wonderful is what the whole thing is about. And so when you make a pie, there are lots of things that are unpalatable on their own, but when you put them together, something magical happens. And it turns out that both the process of baking the pie and the product of savoring it are both well worth your investment of time and energy. And so that's where it all started. And I'm telling you, there are transformative things that can happen when you wrap things in sugar and fat and consume them.
Now, what kind of pie did you make that first time?
My first pie was an apple pie. It's the pie that I am most famous for in my own mind. And I got to say that that's the one that I make for myself. Now, there's lots of other really cool pie recipes in here, and they all have lessons associated with them. So, you know, when life gives you lemon, make lemon meringue. And that's
yeah, I love you know, I love that. And you write about strawberry rhubarb pie and how it's a perfect example of how your perspective can impact your life. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the lead-ins I wanted to share with you is that
Sure. The
book is divided into six sections and six different kinds of pie. But The six sections talk about principles that I think are absolutely essential to a well-lived, well-loved, meaningful, happy life. And that is perspective, which you mentioned. So basically how you look at the world and what happens to you. There are lessons and laughter on connection, on adaptability, on resilience, and on the idea of release, and then finally on mindfulness. And so the whole point for me is that regardless of what life sends your way, you always have an opportunity of how you frame your perspective on what is happening in front of you. And my whole opinion is life is way too funny to be taken too seriously. And so the more that we can weave positivity and lightheartedness into our lives, even during the most challenging times, you can turn something sour, like rhubarb, into something really pleasant and wonderful, like strawberry rhubarb pie. We do the same thing with the way that we look at challenges, setbacks, stressors in our lives. We can transform those by adding a dose of good humor, by adding some connection with friends, by adding looking at things from a different viewpoint. So
yeah,
that's where it all started.
No, it's totally true. And I love your viewpoints and I love your stories. And you have so many great stories in there and they're funny. You're very funny, which laughter is so important. I mean, they say laughter is the best medicine. They're not just saying that. It's really, really true. And you write about laughter as a gift and you write, quote, when we laugh together, we literally co-create our history. I love that. And if you can expand on that.
Oh, I would love to. Actually, there are two points I wanted to make because you talked about laughter being the best medicine. And
sure.
When I, in the title of this, I talk about laughing and crying. And people don't realize that physiologically, the body and the mind don't really know the difference between when we're laughing and when we're crying. There are very tiny, subtle physiological differences between laughing and crying. And that's why you hear people say, oh, I laughed until I cried. And sometimes, during the worst times, right, we cry until finally something breaks and we laugh.
Yes.
And it's like the saving grace moment. So the idea of co-creating our experience or co-creating our history is that science tells us when we spend time with people, basically, when you and I have this conversation, you're going to remember certain aspects of it vividly. I'm going to remember certain aspects of it vividly, if I can say it three times fast. And what happens is that the full experience is a shared experience. So I only have a part of it, and you only have a part of it. When we laugh together, the same thing happens. You bring a part, I bring a part, but as we recall it and re-experience it, we more powerfully sort of merge those parts together to be a much more robust history, and we can look back on it even with more favor. So it's pleasant in the moment, but it's powerful in the long run when we laugh together.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you brought up the connection with laughing and crying, because I know, and that brings me, you know, thinking about release. I know for my daughter, she has sensory issues and some anxiety and other things, and she tends to get really overloaded. And sometimes for her, whether she laughs or she cries from just being overstimulated, it just instantly calms her down. Like she, and I'll encourage her. People think it's weird. Like, why are you telling her? I can tell you need to cry. You need to just kind of let this out or laugh or something, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it makes it, that release makes a big difference. And I think whether your kids have neurological issues or not, I mean, it really can be helpful.
Oh, amen to that. Because the interesting thing is people tend to label the release of emotions as either positive or negative, good or bad. They sort of put a value judgment on it. And it's okay to laugh, but it's not okay to laugh during challenging or stressful times. It's okay to laugh during when you're being entertained by somebody or that kind of thing. And it's okay to cry, but you're supposed to cry in private. And if you're a boy, you're not supposed to cry in front of anybody. And there are all of these sort of implied definitions about when emotions are okay. And when I wrote this book, I wrote it with the idea that laughing and crying, if we give them equal weight and equal sanctioning in our lives, it opens up our ability to truly be mindful in this moment, to release pent-up energy in ways that feel good, because what doesn't feel better than a really great belly laugh with someone? I mean, there's no better power in the world than that. And at the same time, when you're full of stress, when challenges are facing you, when you've felt grief or trauma or loss, you know what? There's nothing more effective than a cry to allow you the physical release of that emotional turmoil. And they're both beautiful things. So even though every single story in this book is a funny story, some of the funniest and most powerful stories came during the most challenging, traumatic times of my life, because those were the things that got me through, the moments where I was able to laugh, and it signaled to me, yes, I will be able to survive this. And that is a magical moment.
It really is. And you share one of the moments that was really difficult was with your mother, and a doctor was speaking with you and your sisters, and you were just trying not, this part cracked me, you're trying not to laugh, so your shoulders are shaking, and your sister thought you were crying. So she's like patting you on the back, and you're trying not to laugh because you know they'd get irritated. Like, why are you laughing? It's not funny.
This is a serious time. We're in the hospital, and we're talking about your mother's health. And yeah, I call it, the story in the book is called Dr. Uptalker.
Yeah,
and basically, we were having a little conversation with my entire family and all the different providers for my mother, and he was trying to summarize everything, and he would end every single sentence with, is your mom very ill? Yes, she is. Do I think she's going to die today? No, I don't. Is it going to take a team of us to get her healthy again? Indeed, it is. And
oh,
it was like
gosh,
a Seinfeld episode in the middle of this room with more MDs in it than we probably could have cured most diseases that day with the power that we had in this room. And all I could do, it just seemed like this Miss America pageant of MDs and a Seinfeld episode at the same time. And though I had been so worried and anxious about my mom's health, the only thing I could do in that moment was laugh and laugh, because it was like a comedy episode. And while some people might look at that and say, wait a minute, you're not supposed to laugh when your mom is ill, you know what? That laughter is the thing that got me through the rest of that day and gave me the energy to be able to deal with the hardship that we were going through. And that was an amazing thing. It was a gift.
Oh, yes, definitely. And what you're going to need, too, is to be able to be able, you know, in this, excuse me, I might not be able to get your words out, be able to deal with change. And you talk a lot about having insight into dealing with change. And you can give us some of your, you know, feelings on that.
Yeah, I think that a lot of times people, when they look or think about the concept of change, it's a very scary thing for them. But and in fact, I remember a quote, I don't know who it's attributed to, but the person said, the only person who likes change is a wet baby. And, you know, a baby with a wet diaper. And I thought, you know,
that's
it's pretty vivid, but it's true.
Yes.
Because people fear change. But
yes,
if you really think about it, change is the only constant in life, and it is the only thing that tells us that we are truly living. Because if we're not changing, we're dying, plain and simple. And so if we can embrace the notion that change is a constant, and if we can infuse some good humor and some lightheartedness into that change, it gives us the creativity and the energy and the connection with other people that helps us get through it. Sometimes change is exciting and you know, innovative and fun, and sometimes change is a really scary thing. Well, do you want to face that with an outlook that says, I can accomplish this, I can get through this, I have the resources both mentally, you know, emotionally, and spiritually, physically, relationally to get through this? Or do you just want to say, oh, it's not worth it, I think I'll give up? Well, given those two choices, I'm going to choose the former, and I'm going to choose it with a lens of laughter and good humor whenever I can find it.
Yeah. You know, something that I really need to let go of is my inner freak. And you write about, you know, forego your inner freak, which just cracked me up, because I do tend to freak out easily. And I'm trying not to, but it just, I think it's just, you know, part of my wiring. I'm just kind of that way. But it's also just getting more mindful, which is something I also need to work on. So your book's been really helpful.
But
help me get rid of my inner freak, Deanna.
Well, the story that's about, it was the first time that my husband and I had been away from my, I believe my daughter was 2 years old at the time,
mm-hmm.
and we were in Mexico for a trip, and she was with my adult stepdaughter, and my daughter called at an unappointed time, which always raises a little concern, and the first thing that she said was, Deanie, don't freak out. Everything's okay. So, of course, when somebody says don't freak out,
when they tell you that you're going to.
Immediately. Yeah,
freak
immediately.
Out.
Okay.
That's like saying, please freak out now.
Yep, please freak out and do it a lot, do it hard, do it fast, and do it so that you can't function. And it was a really funny moment, because even though I'm immersed in the psychology about how the brain works and how you transform moments, in that moment, my freakometer went way off the charts. And it turned out that there was something that had occurred that was unfortunate, but everybody was safe, everybody was fine, and it was this great learning moment for me that sometimes if we just step back and take that very deep breath in the moment that our inner freak starts taking over, and the inner freak is taking over in a way that they think they're doing a service, right? It's like, I'm going to put you at the ready so that you can deal with whatever comes your way. But what it does is it incapacitates us. And it teaches us to expect the worst instead of to ask the right questions to create a good outcome. So if we take that deep breath and just say, in this moment, what's the best question that I can ask that will help me understand what's going on? And by doing that, you give yourself just enough buffer from the inner freak to actually make the transition into either thinking or action and away from the freakometer just far enough so that you can be present and in control of the situation instead of out of control. The meltdown doesn't necessarily have to happen.
Yeah, well, you know, another one of your stories that I actually say I admire, you're knowing what the right thing to say is about your friend's toddler's comment to you. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And I thought it was so great how you responded, and I'd love, and this is why people have to get the book, it was so funny, the things that you had, like, wanted to say, but we're like, no, I'm not going to say that to a 3-year-old, but if you can share that story, that was really funny.
Oh, my word. And that was one of the earliest ones that happened. As I was writing this book, I tried to think about all of those really hysterical times in my life, the really absurd times that you couldn't make up if you tried.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been on a business trip with a colleague, and she had brought her 3-year-old son, and we were getting ready to go out to the pool for some much-needed R&R. And he came into the room, and he looked at me, and he just said very, very nonchalantly, he goes, "You know, your legs are way bigger than my mom's." And it was the way must
say.
Have gone on for like 5 minutes. I swear to you, that's what it felt like. And so immediately, instead of realizing that I'm standing there in front of a 3-year-old who is simply making a statement, okay?
That's what they do. Yep,
yep, that's what they do. And there was no value judgment. It was objective. My legs are bigger than his mom's. My brain goes, "Oh, my gosh. Well, I have gained a little bit of weight. Do I look fat? Should I not go out to the pool? Should I make up some excuse?" You know, and I'm going through all of those self-concept things that don't serve anybody's best purposes. And I'm actually getting to the point, it's like, should I ask him if I look fat in this swimsuit? Should I take fashion advice from a 3-year-old? You know, I mean, it's really getting irrational. And finally, after this, again, it was sort of a freakometer moment, mm-hmm. I stepped back and I thought, okay, does this really serve me or him to have this internal dialogue that does nothing but tear myself apart when all this 3-year-old did was made an objective statement? Kind of like walking in the door and saying, "You know what, that countertop is blue." That's all he did, but I turned it into something completely different than was intended. And so it was this really interesting kind of transformative moment, and I started laughing so hard at the situation because I thought, when we start giving a 3-year-old the power, you know, when we start giving babies the opportunity to determine whether or not we're a babe, you know, we've really given up our personal power. So I vowed in that moment I would no longer allow a 3-year-old to define my self-concept.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, yeah, kids, like the other day, my daughter's going to this Montessori school this summer to get ready for going next year. And this little girl was crying the day before because her mother left, and my daughter's very kind-hearted. And, of course, she tried to make her feel better. But then the next day, not thinking that it was going to upset her, it sounded like she was saying in a judgy way, but she wasn't. She's like, "You were crying yesterday when your mommy left." And I was like, "Oh, don't say that." And I realized she was just sort of making a statement. Like, that's just what she was doing. Like, I'm not saying it's good or bad, and I'm the one that
exactly.
thought, "Oh, she's gonna think you're judging." And the other little girl was just like, "Yeah, I was." Like, I was like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe she just said that. I'm so embarrassed, and you're gonna make her feel bad." And then I was just, there was my inner freak coming out and then making them both feel bad. I was like, "Okay, I need to shut up now."
Yeah.
But kids just, they're just observant. They just,
you know,
say things.
Let's not torment them with everything that we've decided to torment ourselves with. And
yeah.
You know, that's the thing, is that kids are not born judgmental. We teach ourselves to be judgmental of ourselves, of our situations, of our experiences. And what if in any given moment we just stepped back and said, "Everyone, myself included, is just doing the very best they can with what they have and what they know in that moment"? What if we all gave ourselves just a little bit of grace and space just to be? And that's what being mindful is all about. And that's what Laugh, Cry, Eat Some Pie is about. It's about integrating laughter, allowing yourself to cry when you need to, and just giving yourself the grace and space to be mindful, be in this moment, experience what it has to offer, and decide what you want to take from it. And that's a powerful decision to make in any moment.
It really is. And, Deanna, it's so wonderful. If you want to give us your website, and also people can get the book anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. The book is actually available at all of your local bookstores. It's at all online retailers, Amazon and Barnes & Noble and IndieBound. And so you can get it anywhere. You can also get it on my website, which is www.deannadavis.net, not .com, but .net. And one thing I did want to let people know is that we have a ton of great free resources on the website as well, including, as you referenced earlier, there are videos of my one-woman comedy show from, and many of the stories in this book are taken from that show. So you can watch those for free, and there are downloadable workbooks and coaching programs for free. And we also are celebrating the release of Laugh, Cry, Eat Some Pie with what we're calling 100 days of giveaways. And we're giving away $10,000 worth of prizes over 100 days, a $100 gift each day for 100 days.
Wow.
That inspires or nurtures or makes people laugh or helps them learn. And so you can also find out all the information about 100 days of giveaways, as well as the details on Laugh, Cry, Eat, Simplify at deannadavis.net.
Oh, that is terrific. And if people are wondering, I don't believe we're related, but I'll have to check with my husband's side of the family. Maybe this is my Davis is my husband's last name. I was thinking, I'm like, gee, I don't know, maybe.
Hey, you know, wouldn't that be fun? It is a small world, I got to say.
It is. But anyway, my website, it's yourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great day. Get Laugh, Cry, Eat Some Pie, and you're going to feel mindful and insightful and laugh and feel good. So everyone take care and bye-bye. Deanna, thanks so much. That was really fun.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure talking with you, and I'm so glad you enjoyed the book.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. So this is great. You know, I'd like to read your other book. I'll talk to your publicist because that would be fun, The Law of Attraction in Action.
Absolutely. And I'm sure they'll be happy to send off a copy of that. And it's the same kind of thing, funny stories that lead up to sort of insights about how we create our life by design rather than by default. So,
oh, I like that. No,
I
great.
Hope you will.
All right. Well, Deanna, thanks so much. Oh, give me your email, and I can send you the MP3 of this later today.
Oh, good. I was going to ask for that because we'll go ahead and post that and send it out to my
great.
Social networking sites as well. It's Deanna, D-E-A-N-N-A, at AppliedInsight.net.
Sites with an S, dot net.
No, not plural, just singular.
Insight.net. Okay, awesome. All
well,
right,
it's been
Deanna.
Great talking with you, and I hope we'll have the chance to chat in the future.
Yeah, we definitely will. All right, thanks so much.
Okay, take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.